Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Timken India Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saraf.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, Mukesh Saraf here from Avendus Spark. Appreciate everybody logging in. I'm very pleased to be hosting Mr. Sanjay Koul, Chairman and Managing Director of Timken India, and Mr. Ravishankar Keshava, CFO and Whole-Time Director of Timken India. We'll start with brief opening remarks from Mr. Koul and follow it up with a Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mukesh. I hope I am clear. Generally, we jump into the question and answers quickly, but this time around, so that same questions can be answered with my opening remark. Obviously, this Q1 was one of our better quarters if you see the seasonality. The Q1 generally is subdued. YoY, it was 3% better. We came the last quarter of previous fiscal year was also one of our best, and we had a degrowth of 10% top line, but no degrowth on EBITDA or PBT. In fact, they were slightly better. So I would start with telling the percentage of the pie, that is how our sale pie was in Q1 2023 and 2024. Rail was 20% of that. Mobile, others, was 26%. Distribution was 16%, and process was 17%. Intercompany was 21%. So this was the spread of Q1 2023-2024. If you look at the Q1 2022-2023, the distribution that time, rail was contributing 15%. Mobile, others, was 21%. Distribution was 16%. Process was 15%. And intercompany was 33%. So over the two quarters, Q1 2022-2023 to Q1 2023-2024, we grew in rail, we grew in mobile, we grew in distribution, we grew in process. We had a degrowth on intercompany, which is the exports. But if you see, with respect to the previous quarter, which was one of our best quarters if you look at the history, we had an overall degrowth of sales of almost 10%. But our, as I earlier said, PBT and EBIT both were okay. We were holding on it. Our contribution in this quarter was 41%, and the previous was only 38%, and EBITDA was 19.96% compared to 19.72% of the 3 months which ended in March, which was the last quarter. So basically, if you see, obviously, the Q1 results were lower. Top line was lower than the previous quarter, and bottom line was lower if you see to the quarter which was in the previous year. But if you look at it, slice and you slice it properly, you see the revenue expanded across most of the front-end units. The pace was slow, but we grew in most of the front-end unit compared to the previous year. We concluded, actually, the best-ever Q1 numbers, 3% favorable to the YoY. And as I earlier said, our Q4 was among the best in the history of the Timken India Limited. So that was when exports revenue experienced a year-on-year decline. in the midst of, you know, we know that America is actually end user is not slowing down that much, but the overall economic deacceleration and those influx inventory adjustment, safety stocks are going down, which result which would lead to an eventual question that why did we shut down. So if you see, certainly exports were down. Our last quarter of previous fiscal year was among the best. The first quarter, if you see the cyclicality, YOY it grew 3%, but overall certainly there is a global slowdown. China is down. So China is down, and if we are exporting bearings, China is down, it is consuming, let's say, example, coal from Australia. And if Australia is buying bearings from India, it has an impact. So, you know, these are complicated global supply chains. So with that, I would pause here and start and wait for the questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participant present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We will take the first question from the line of Hardik Doshi from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. You know, can you give a breakup of your fourth quarter, you know, sales by channel? I know you gave for 1Q of 24 and 1Q 23, but maybe for 4Q as well.
Sorry, your voice broke up a little bit. You want the Q1 22-23 and Q4 22-23?
Q4 22-23.
Acha, you want the breakup. So Q4 breakup was, rail was 23%, mobile others was 25%, distribution was 16%, process 17%, intercompany was 19%. That was the Q4 22-23 pie.
Okay, so you know, I'm you know, just looking at the intercompany, which I assume is all the exports, that's yeah, down almost 30% year on year. So is it that you know, I mean, is that a dip in demand, you know, in the end market or the end customers, or is there a shift in production away from India and maybe thinking China or some other geography is kind of you know, doing more of production and, you know, from supplying to the parent?
Yeah, so you're right. So the intercompany with respect to, say, Q1 22-23 was down by 34%. So this is primarily, if you see, obviously China is not in the equation at all because of the fact that the Chinese taper landed in America draws more than 70-80% of import duty. So that apprehension can be put on one side. So the major, you know, as we were in March, everything, there was this discussion certainly on the heavy truck stuff and all that. While the end user demand is not that down, as you look at the quarterly results of the typical company also, the end user demand is not that down, but the apprehension about the deacceleration of the economy, softening of the economy, is making sure that all our customers and then intercompany, Timken companies also lowering the safety stocks, and at times, you know, global companies, global customers do some knee-jerk reaction and they want to cut down inventories quickly, want to generate more working capital and also look at the possibility of reducing the safety stock. So this is nothing to do of moving production. So production remains intact, customer base remains intact, but certainly is that the softening is very much there. Now the softening is at this stage, it can change in 3 months' time. At this stage, the softening looks to be more of correction of inventory safety stock rather than the end user demand going drastically down. It is slightly down, but not that drastic down. So there is this issue. China definitely is softening down. So if Indonesia was buying coal from China and Indonesia mining required bearing, so obviously that is going down, or Australian coal was going to China, or Australian coal prices are down as we talk, etc. So those internet global supply chains have their effect. But to answer your question, our shifting of production is not happening. Obviously, Timken India Limited has among the best cost and quality and delivery metrics in place. But it is to be the impact of the various geopolitical and market economics, etc. Now, is it going to be 2 quarter down, 6 quarter down in America? Stats are that question of debate, etc. So that is where it stands currently.
Got it. What will be the breakup of our intercompany sales by geography? How much will be US, Europe, Asia?
Your voice is breaking, sir. Could you use your handset, please?
Yeah, I'm on my handset. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Okay. So I was just wanted to understand what is the breakup of our intercompany sales by geography? Like how much is US, Europe, Asia, Australia?
Generally, 50% of our exports, 50-60% are to North America, and rest are scattered in ASEAN, Europe, Australia, etc. But the bulk goes to US.
Got it. And this, we announced a factory shutdown. That was also because of this weakness in export, or has there been weakness in other segments as well in the current quarter?
So, obviously this question most of our colleagues will have. So, I will give a little bit of a long answer so shutdown, obviously, as a very transparent company, we did not mix words saying that we are in maintenance or we are underground. We said that we are doing a week shutdown. And some of us might have questions regarding my previous investor call during which we did mention our plants are operating at good capacity and we implemented this shutdown, etc. It is important to understand that the plant utilization for a specific facility does not have a direct linear correlation with the company revenue. Obviously, we are importing and we have domestic production. So our revenue is a composite of domestic manufactured goods which are made in Jamshedpur and also made in Bharuch. And then, we are exporting, we are trading, we are importing into India. So our statements generally are reflective of the current prevailing situation. So economic growth or slowdown, as we say, is a contingent and it is getting complicated by the day. So many factors, geopolitics, dynamics, captive inflation, etc. So all these intricate connection on one side, we generally will always, our declared shutdown primarily are aimed to enhance the efficiency. If I have to produce a 7 lakh rings a month, should I do it in 30 days and announce no shutdown, or should I do it in 21 days so that I can further enhance efficiency, undertake some preventive maintenance, and obviously push the profitability by cutting costs? Say, for example, 7 days, 6 days, you shut down the plant, you don't have to. Our plants are air-conditioned in Jamshedpur as we make rail and we make, differential peanuts, so they are temperature-controlled, so we shut them off. Then we don't have the cost of canteen, etc. So these are not a mega saving, but definitely saving. And, in this game, every rupee saved is good. So the principle has, this principle of shutdown, if you see last 10, 15 years, we have been doing shutdowns off and on. And they are generally yielding favorable results rather than a deteriorating result for our costs. Our historical performance can easily say. We don't generally, obviously forecast the future. But when we see that our current demand can be compressed and looking at the future demand, we can optimize production, we will make sure that how the cost can be managed. So certainly this shutdown is because of lack of exports to the normal median, we saw that we can produce required quantities in this number of days, shut down this number of days, and save on electricity, save on leaves. For example, you know, we ask our associates to take leave, go on holidays, so that it gets consumed and we optimize our manufacturing cost.
Okay. Just one last question. You know, how is the outlook on the railway? There's been a couple of, you know, news flow on CapEx in railway and a lot of wagon orders, et cetera. So how are you seeing demand on railway over the next 12 months?
I think that, you know, railway is pretty much going okay. So rail is pretty much going okay. Heavy truck, you guys know better than me. Tractor off-highway is going okay. Steel production is also going okay. Cement is also going okay. So I think the GDP growth of 6.5%, and, you know, wherever possibility of, getting more penetration. So generally, except heavy truck, more or less okay, and exports down. You know, that is the general. Now, export this time, you know, I've been watching this for a long time. So this time, the American market end user demand and the reaction of the customers does not have a equal correlation. The demand there is not falling to the level the safety stocks and the inventories are being taken out.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rajesh Kothari from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for providing an opportunity. My first question is, you know, when you look at from the business over the next 2-3 years perspective, you know, do you see any significant change compared to what we have been talking in last 12 months or so in terms of the CapEx, in terms of the potential of the opportunity into the various regions, and also the significant improvement in domestic market, particularly from the new growth drivers like new product launches and the new segments? You know, if we can give a little bit color on that, that would be useful.
Yeah. For sure, I think that, you know, if you see globally, you know, last 4-5 years were a good run for the bearing companies globally. So as we look for next 2-3 years, India certainly is going to be a nice market to be in. You know, our overall GDP is growing, and manufacturing pie is growing in that. We are looking at, you know, when I say we are looking, India is looking at putting more offshore windmills into place. The solar system, the solar harnessing, solar power is getting more mechanized. It has started, rather than putting fixed panel, they want to put now rotatory panels. So India is pretty much, as I look at the global markets for next 24 months, I see India pretty much doing well. Indonesian market going up, Korean market certainly going up strongly, Vietnam going up, America next couple of quarters will tell the real story there, which is a big market. China, we know, is going down. For Timken India Limited, that is, you know, not a bad year. So overall, India certainly is going to be a shining star in the global game. You know, more manufacturing is going to happen. The sustainable cost, quality, delivery out of Indian engineering companies is going to be helpful. And obviously, you know, the political stability is important. You know, nobody can predict that. And if I assume that the political stability is there and this pace is continued, so the way the infra is coming up, the way the Northeast and J&K infra, they want to push it up, the way now the focus is on more wind, more green, etc. So this is good news. As we speak, we are investing and building this new factory in Bharuch at very high speed. Though we have said the production will be end of next year, but we want to do everything possible to save on days and weeks and produce quickly, because that product is meant for steel, is meant for cement, energy, etc. So I'm not worried about the future at all. And obviously for the Indian market, it is like those two words on the Sai Baba temple: Shraddha and Subri. So, you know, you need patience and trust with the Indian market. And this market is definitely bound to only shine and shine, you know, not only for next 2-3 years. If this pace remains same and stability remains same, next decade is going to be a great decade. Obviously, there will be cyclicity, there will be bad monsoon, there will be good monsoon, there will be floods. So, you know, for example, who knew Manipur would burn? And then when Manipur burned, what happens in that region, there is a good auto aftermarket consumption on differential and pinion. Now all of a sudden everything stopped there. So, you know, nobody can predict those things. So, you know, barring keeping those things aside, I think India is going to remain pretty solid and growing.
I see. And one line on overall profitability, any specific thing, because the raw material, of course, prices are coming down. Do you see from 1Q level, there is a scope to improve the profitability?
So, you know, steel certainly is coming down and should hopefully come down further. But at the same time, the other costs are going up. You know, energy is going up definitely. You have transportation cost involved, labor cost involved, though the change of labor cost is still, I would say, stable compared to other nations of the world. But there are inflation pressures other than the alloy steel, other than the raw metal. So there are those pressures. So obviously, say Jamshedpur, we are continuously working that from the melt of the steel to the finish bearing, the number of kilometers traveled is reduced and reduced and reduced. Obviously, it is easier said than done, but still, we have, we have steel plant in Jamshedpur where we buy steel, not the whole lot, but a portion of it. So within 20 miles, we produce melt to finish. So we are working on those, you know, one was indigenous, you know, 5 years back, localization of steel. Now it is minimization of the supply chain so that the kilometer traveled by every ring is minimized and minimized and minimized. And then obviously, you know, it also helps on our overall ESG targets of reducing number of grams of CO2 for each bearing produced and then obviously those applications. So on profitability, I would say that, you know, definitely alloy prices are coming down. That will have its own bearing. But at the same time, the other costs are going up. So our endeavor is to certainly, better the profitability of the company, which is, if you see, compared to last quarter, though my sales came down compared to the first quarter, this is by 10%, the profitability went a little bit up, actually. So we are, that can give you an indication of our work on the cost piece of it.
Okay. And just the last question on my side. On the railway side, can you give a little bit more, a little bit insight, a little bit more details about how do you see the, you know, the railway segment growing and over the next 3-5 years, do you think, there is a scope for significant improvement in railway as a component of your total revenue mix?
So I think that, you know, certainly rail is a very strong piece of Timken India Limited, and we have made these supply chains which are 30 years old. We are also improving on the product side of it. What was used on those bearings on freight, say for example 10 years back, is now changed. Different technology in sealing, different technology in grease, and hopefully in future this technology will also be more tuned to condition monitoring and things like that. So rail is a stronghold of us, and we are working over time, and obviously competition will be always there, and it is there. It is not that the competition was not there and suddenly is coming up. So but everybody will fight with their own localization plans and improvement plans, but we at Timken India see rail remaining strong. Obviously, the game is about better supply chains and better product technology. You know, Indian Railway deserves better product in order to become a global standard rail. And on the railway side, we obviously see that the need of mass rapid transportation is only growing. So which means that we'll all see more metros in coming years. We have the Agra Metro, we have Indore Metro, we have all these metros are building up, and more metros will be built up because you can only make that much road within a city. The freight modernization plan obviously is working well, so that is on. And then with the electrification, diesel locos are going to produce less, more electrical locos are being produced more. We were not much present in the electric locomotive, but the good news is that we have recently got approval from RDSO, so we'll be producing bearings and we'll be penetrating the electric loco market. So overall, Indian Railways, if you see, is going to grow for next 10-15 years. Now, the pace of the growth is a challenge. You know, can they grow double-digit CAGR, say, for example, for our bearing extra every year, or it will be a slow and steady growth? So this growth is bound to happen. India is a large country, large population. You have a huge population which will use trains, and there is a need of dedicated freight corridors across crisscrossing India. So all this is going to come. So you know, barring the political will, I would say that rail is going to remain a strong development market for India. And Timken globally is pretty much a leader in rails, and in India we have one of the best manufacturing setups, a great supply chain. So it will remain interesting and important for us for coming years.
Great, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you update on the CRB and SRB capex? Is there any change in those plans given the way export market is currently?
So the change is that we want to build it faster. So that is a positive change. You know, Bharuch SRB CRB project is actually progressing smoothly and is going to be better than the timelines. We want to produce it fast and complete it fast. Major equipments are ordered. Civil work is currently on track, though there was heavy monsoon in Bharuch for some time, but now we are, you know, currently as we talk, piling is happening. We are also working with the local government, local stakeholders for hiring. So everything is moving at a pretty fast pace. We have put up a special team which is, you know, focusing on the smooth execution of this plan. Most of the equipment is going to be coming from the best developed machine tool countries of the world. So work is on progress there. A group of operatives which are currently getting interviewed will be sent for advanced training to different parts of the world. So this plant definitely is going to be a special world-class plant. We are speeding it up, though, as you said, the global market slowdown. Indian market definitely is very much there. We import and sell SRB, CRB, but not to a large extent. So given our knowledge on supply chain and manufacturing and selling tapers majorly to those customers of steel, energy, cement, etc., so we are very excited. We are not slowing down at all. And hopefully, you know, in some quarters, there is, like, Indonesian market is not slowing down, Korean market is not slowing down, Australia is largely slowing down because of, you know, exposed to China. So we are actually, to answer your question, speeding up the building of this new plant. Our orders have been placed for civil, that work is going on, PEB orders are in place. So execution is, as we talk in the other room, our supply chain folks are negotiating for the 66 kVA line. So work is in full swing.
So expected timeline continues to be fourth quarter of FY24, right?
So as I said, that is our official line, all focused to speed it up.
Understood. So another question is on the gross margin. If I see there is a gross margin improvement in this quarter to around 41%, but if we look at the trend of Timken over last 3-4 years, you are still at least 300-400 basis points lower on the gross margin. So do you think, can we go back to that 44-45% gross margin as now the commodity inflation has actually moderated?
Yeah, so, you know, if you see our 3 months which ended on 22 June, 36-22, our contribution was, say, 46%. We were in 38% on March 23, and now we are at 41. So obviously, you know, the alloys are softening, and they would you know, they would soften further. But at the same time, the coal prices are going down in Australia, as I said. But at the same time, we got certainly we all know that we got challenges of inflation on energy costs. There are energy cost increases happening. There are other inflation costs on, say, for example, oils and things like that. But they are not to the tune of what one gets hit by the raw material. So raw material getting positive, other going a little bit up. So, you know, and as I said earlier, the endeavor is to create supply chains of excellence. For example, when you see Hyundai putting up a car plant, they bring their supply chain and they are all around them. So, you know, Jamshedpur is a similar model for us. If you see, we have Tata Steel pouring steel there, rolling the bars, and we do a lot of forging, turning, heat treat, finishing, and then moving the stuff from there to Tata Motor Jamshedpur or to Indian Railways or to Calcutta. So we are trying to do that in order to compress and negate the cost. Alloys are becoming soft, but there are other inflation challenges which you know, which we cannot negate. For example, state electricity board or JUSCO power price goes up, you know, we have to pay. There is no way out.
Last question before I join the queue. Parent has a sizable industrial motion business, which is currently not there in India. As and when there is a market for this business in India, would it come through Timken India, and what would be the role of Timken in those businesses?
Yeah, so the direction is very clear. Whatever we will sell in India will be always through Timken India Limited. So that is the statement which I can make with confidence. So industrial motion, we have already started selling little bit, say for example on Pune Metro, the lubrication system which Timken India Limited sold is a small sales, but came from Germany and came from industrial motion part. So if you see that the industrial motion is couplings, chains, belts, lubrication system, all of this have a nice market in India. The Timken company parent has a very good hold on the technology, including roll-on, which is doing linear motion. Currently, as we speak, we have developed supplier base for a machine for certain of these IM companies which are getting exported. So it is a matter of time that the best cost sourcing out of India and then the Indian market would happen. When it will happen, I cannot say that, but certainly it, whenever it happens, it will be sold through Timken India Limited.
Sure. Thank you. And I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Pramod Amte from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. So this is with regard to the exports, and especially US, which seems to be forming 15-17% of your top line. So the slowdown you see is more coming from Class 8, or you feel the non-Class 8 exports are the ones which are disappointing?
Yeah, so basically, you know, certainly the exports out of North America is definitely softening, and it is across the board as we see our major customers in ag or in off-highway are bringing down their safety stocks. They are bringing down their inventories. Even in the rail, we see everybody, you know, killing their inventory. And then the intercompany itself, the parent company is itself also looking at, you know, better cash flow. They are also looking at minimizing the safety stock and inventory. And then, you know, obviously when it comes back, then the bumper piece happens. But currently it is not only heavy trucks, it is across the board. People are cutting down their inventories, cutting down their safety stock, including our parent.
Okay. And sir, looking at considering it also the intercompany one, what's the visibility for exports outlook for this year? Because last year was pretty lumpy for you. So would it be what type of a decline to build in for exports for full of financial year FY24?
If you see Q1 2022-23, export was 33% of our pie. This first quarter 2023-24, it is 21%. And compared to the last quarter, which was the last quarter of last fiscal year, it is flat. So I would say that this range of 21% of the pie is the worst case scenario, and any further movement should take the graph up.
Okay. And related to that is again the plant maintenance shutdown which you have taken. So are the capacities fungible, or you feel exports is more, can be a few more quarter phenomena, and hence you would like to reallocate your capacity for higher growth areas? Is that the possibility in the short term to do that?
So, you know, all these capacities which we term, you know, in Jamshedpur, for example, we make 0 to 8 inch taper roller bearing, we make the rail bearings, and we make some small amount of special bearings there. So all these are fungible, you know, assets remain same, the tooling get changed. Say, for example, you want to make 32213, where the bore is 65 millimeter, it goes on the same line as 33019, which is a larger bearing bore, is closer to 100 millimeter, the tooling would change. So these capacities are fungible and can do in this range of 0 to 8 inch, which is 200 millimeter, they can do across the board. So these are fungible. Similarly, on rail lines, this world consumes bearings for freight, which are known as Class B, Class C, Class D, Class E, G, and GG. And similarly, on the passenger, they use SP-130, UIC-130, etc. on the paper side. So these are all fungible. What changes is actually the tooling on those machines, and then obviously the raw material which comes into it, the forging, those sizes would change. So the from melt to finish, it is fungible.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
That is why we call our manufacturing flexible manufacturing.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So coming on to this Bharuch plant, as you said, this is largely for domestic business. Is that correct understanding? And if that will be replacing our import, or it will be in addition what we are importing?
So basically, you know, India uses, you know, thousands of different sizes. Currently, we are going to make SRBs and CRBs, which we term as 0 to 400 millimeter size range, or 400 means 16 inch size range. So these will be made both for Indian domestic market, where currently we are importing a little bit. We are not, obviously, you know, we don't have a large, you know, like tapers, we have a large share on SRB, CRB. We don't have a large share in the market. So we will be competing in the domestic market on these, and it will replace also some of the imports we do, which would obviously be helpful on the profitability and speed to the market. But still, India consumes other bearings which are 400 to say 800 millimeter, cement mills and things like that, bigger sizes. So that would still be imported. And then at some point of time, when we see that it is now the mass is stacking and we can expand the size range, would be a logical expansion of these capacities. So it would be for domestic. It would certainly get exported to the ASEAN and Australian market, if not all the way to America, maybe to America as well, but largely in the APO belt, these would get exported, and certainly domestic market. So we are certainly going to go after domestic market. We will export, because if you see our penetration for green, in our Timken penetration in Malaysia and Indonesia in palm oil is not very big. Our competitors have a large size of that. And once Indian plant size, it would be a great opportunity for Timken in that region use bearings out of Bharuch to compete in the palm oil market, just as an example.
Great, sir. And so recently, our parent company has announced a closure of one of its plant in Carolina. So do we see that we can get benefit of exporting from India?
Closing some plant in Carolina. So, you know, Timken has a plant in North Carolina, South Carolina. So, you have heard about which plant closure?
South Carolina.
So, generally, whenever a plant in North America is closed, obviously the market is intact, market is growing. The production would move to the best cost country. Now, Carolina makes paper roller bearing 0 to 80. China cannot export to America without this big hit on the tariff. So obviously there will be benefits, but at the same time, Timken does have a plant in Mexico, a new plant in Mexico across the Trump wall. So I cannot comment yet on who will get benefited, but these are papers, the best cost country will always win.
Sir, and coming to this rail freight side, now this dedicated freight corridor will start bidding out for there, and which is very high speed, and where I believe it's a K-class bearing is required. If my understanding is correct or not, then you please correct me. So how big this opportunity will be for us?
So basically, you know, currently the freight is moved through Class E, and Class E is the traditional bearing used on the Indian tracks, which is not high axle. The dedicated freight corridor can carry more load, and hopefully in future can carry even further axle load, because the world, the developed world, say North America, is using Class G and GGs, which means, you know, they go up to 40 ton axle load also. So still the main capacity utilization of the freight is through high cap Class E, that means the improved version of Class E which Timken introduced and others followed also, and that is still the main consumption. Class K is, if I can say, hole hole. So it is coming up slowly. It is not coming up very fast. And eventually it has to come up very fast because, say, for example, when you see or saw the accident in Orissa, all of a sudden the Indian Railways further understood that having freight and passenger, and then on passenger, using Shalerian and all that, as you saw how those bogies got smashed and compressed and things like that. So Class K, dedicated freight corridor east to west, north to south, central, all the way, it all has to come. That is where the growth of the Indian Railways will come. But it obviously needs land, it needs making bearings and making a dabas. I would say if Indian Railway has the money, is the easiest part. Getting that basic land and the tracks in place is the tough part. So it is happening. We are making Class K. This is going to eventually replace Class E's, but it is going to take a lot of time. Currently, Class E is what we produce, the maximum, and that is what is getting sold, the maximum for rail consumption in India.
And how big is the opportunity in this Vande Bharat?
Vande Bharat is a pretty decent opportunity. The more the, every dabba of Vande Bharat uses 8 bearings. So the more the boxes, the more the dabbas they make, more bearings get sold. And obviously, compared to a traditional bearing, this is a high value, high price bearing. So this is the recent announcement of more Vande Bharat cars is good news. Traditionally, India was on what you see in Bombay in good old days, on Harbour Line or Central Line, what was those EMUs, DMUs were on a bearing called 22326, 22328 was a Shalerian. So slowly all of these Shalerian bogies will vanish, and you will get similar like Fate LHB, Vande Bharat is the Indian version of the high-speed track. So this opportunity is only going to bigger and bigger. Now, Indian Railways has almost 300,000 freight wagons on the tracks. Most of lot of them needs to be modernized, that means scrap and new wagons to come. And then to carry more freight, more wagons need to come. And if you see on the passenger side, if all goes well, they have to make between 30,000 to 40,000 cars. Now, that would take some time to make per year. So it will slowly go towards that. That is why I say that Indian Railways for next decade will keep on growing.
One question.
Mr. Seth, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request to kindly rejoin the queue as there are several participants who are waiting for their turn, sir. Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from HSBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of questions. One is, could you give us a sense of the CRB, SRB market size in India and what sort of share do we have currently?
So basically, SRB, CRB market is, you know, is a large market, and obviously the size range is from zero. When I say zero, obviously it is more than from zero to 800 millimeter, 900 millimeter.
No, sorry, I mean by value.
Are you only interested in value? Then I'll just give you the value.
Okay, sorry, please go ahead.
So, you know, so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I'm trying is to say that the spherical roller bearing and cylindrical roller bearing have application across rail, across the off-highway excavators. It has certainly in material handling system. It has in metal making, non-ferrous, in energy. So why I'm saying you these applications, because this market itself in India growing. So this market is in itself growing at a nice pace. So what is 12 to 1500 crore today is also growing at a nice CAGR because of the fact that infra is coming up, more factories are coming up, supporting the material handling system is coming up. So this CAGR is going up. But I would say that our penetration in SRB, CRB market is very, very small in India. And obviously, you know, the reason of investment is to utilize our 100 years of knowledge on metal making, grinding, heat treatment, and our supply chain strength. And obviously, our customers have been continuously following that when you will make in India or CRB, SRB. So there is a good chance of penetrating this market. We are currently importing and selling to some extent, but it is not a large amount, I think 50 odd crores. So this market of 15 or 100 crores is growing at a nice pace in India. And then obviously there is nice market in ASEAN as well if you have the right cost quality delivery system in place.
Got it, sir. Great. That was very helpful. And just the other question on railways was in like on the DFC, when do you expect the rolling stock ordering and, I mean, benefits for you in terms of these newer bearings, etc. on the freight side coming in? I mean, over what time frame do you see that happening?
So, you know, as we talk, DFC bearings are being purchased and rolling stock is being made, but it is not at a very, very high speed. The traditional box and or traditional freight wagons are being made. So this is happening, but not at a super fast speed. So that means Indian Railways has not stopped buying the Class E's, which is the traditional, and converting to all Class K, as Mr. Shah was earlier saying. So this is happening, but it will happen at a certain pace. In the meantime, they are pumping in more normal freight wagons, though there is a high cap, as we say, a little bit of more capacity loading on that.
Okay. So just to clarify, the 85,000 odd freight wagons which railways ordered doesn't include these, or it does include?
Yeah, yeah, it is Class E purely, high cap Class E, and then they come out with these small tenders for Class Ks.
Got it, sir. Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Saif Saurabh Kochar from ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question would be in continuation on the CRV and SRV stuff. So you gave a 50 crores amount. So to be precise, what would be the total revenue contribution for us from CRVs and SRVs? And compared to Timken Company globally, what proportion they would have?
Basically, we have announced an investment of 600 crores currently, and that 600 crore would include building and machinery on a size range of 0 to 400. And generally for every dollar invested, we would be more than 2.5-ish on revenues. And obviously, you know, when you install, then you debug, then you do the MOCs, and then you do the PPAPs, and then you start the regular supplies. So globally, again, I think SRB, CRB is double digit, but Tapers is our largest SOB. In fact, if you see our global, after I take the industrial motion piece out, where robotics is our number one, our wind energy Tapers is the biggest front end unit. So globally, SRB, CRB, we started with zero. Obviously, we were a late entrant in this market globally. We took over a company called Torrington in 2001, if my memory serves me right, and from zero we went to double digits over the period of time, and now obviously these bearings are sought after, especially in the core sectors, and in India also our penetration is low. Obviously, you know, competing in India, importing from US or Europe is not easy unless it is a very special application. So this is a growing market for us, and we have done actually very well. I can tell you an example that in a certain industry where there was a huge complaint from OE because of SRB supplied by another premium supplier. So Timken designed a new SRB, and since then their problems vanished. So, you know, the engineering concepts are same. Construction of the drawing is different, but the concept of material, concept of material sciences, concept of profiles, application engineering fundamentally, have the same principle. So we are excited about this.
Okay, so for the parent company, it would be in double digit as compared to contribution to revenue, but for us, it would be 50 crores on a quarterly basis, so less than 10% of the total revenue, right?
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, there is a huge size range in this. So if we want to go further up, so further investment might be mandated for going the whole hog on the size ranges. So one step at a time.
Yeah, just second question would be on other than bearing products, like whatever acquisitions Timken company has, right? So be it diamond, rice or other products. So so when we are talking about selling to India, so do these entities, because these are also acquisitions which the parent has made, also have entities in India, like diamond, Rollon, all those?
So all these M&As which has happened, unfortunately, have no manufacturing setup in India. So that is statement number one. So none of them, they have many in China, many in Europe, some in America, but nothing in India. So diamond globally was taken over by Timken. In India, there is one diamond which was a handshake deal between Murugappa Group and the original diamond, and they are using that TI diamond brand here. But most of these guys had no manufacturing presence in India. And whenever we start selling, and we have started selling a little bit, would be through Timken India Limited. There is no manufacturing base. There is a nice market in India, lubrication market. For example, is more than 100 million in the Hazari Kuruka market. Coupling is a strong market. So now how do we integrate this, use the already existing base in India for this? All that is going to, you know, being thought, debated, and used in future. But unfortunately, none of these had a plant in India. Otherwise, you know, we would have kind of, you know, used that base pretty well.
Okay, so one last question would be on the wind part. So what segment we are serving within wind? Is it the Indian wind market, or is it the Indian gearboxes and turbine makers who are catering to the major markets like Europe, all this?
So actually, India local consumption is almost minuscule. You know, it is going to come up now, given the fact that India has mostly sub megawatt, whether Daiso kilowatt type windmills, which had a small gearbox. So Indian wind market is going to come of age now, which means that the announcement which was done some months back that we would be using offshore. offshore for harnessing the waves. So that is going to come, which is great news. Currently, most of the gearboxes which are made in India are generally exported, and they are exported pretty well. You know, for example, ZF, Siemens, Gamesa, etc. Are exporting to the European markets, even to China. Some of them, Nanjing High Speed is making in Chennai, exporting not only to Europe but also back to China. So we are currently serving those gearbox guys, and looking forward as the Indian local wind consumption comes up, and if it is going to be offshore, so they will be 4 megawatt, 6 megawatt, 8 megawatt, not chota mota. So that would be pretty good.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can take the last question. We are nearing the 3 o'clock.
Sure, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So this is the question regarding this expansion at Bharuch plant. So basically, there will be manufacturing bearings which are today imported, or it will be the same production, means we are just expanding the capacity. So clarification will be.
Yeah, you know, these are going to be bearings which we don't make in India. So this is a new product line as far as Indian manufacturing of Timken India Limited is concerned. First time we'll be making SRB and CRBs for Timken India Limited in India. Currently, we do import and sell. That is, Timken India Limited imports and sells SRBs and CRBs in a limited manner in India. And these, as we start producing by the end of next year or before God willing, they will be used domestically and also exported. So that is the target.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Mr. Saraf, you want to say anything? We are close to 3. If anybody has any other question, he can send it to you, and you know, we can send him a reply through you.
Sure. I'll take it up from if I get any questions. Thanks a lot for your time, sir. I think we more just covered all the questions.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Timken India Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.